Welcome back to the Marty Chitwood Show on TalkZone.com. Now, here's Marty Chitwood.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we've got this big State of the Union speech tonight, and I've been asked by several people if I'm going to watch it, and I am not going to watch it. I think I'd rather be at a dentist office getting my teeth pulled. If you want to see socialism on display, then watch this speech tonight. Because what you're going to hear is we need more government to create more government programs, and therefore we need more money. And would you please, please, please raise the debt ceiling so I can spend more money? That's exactly what you're going to hear. This guy should be over in France giving the speech. This is pure European socialism. Let's get more people dependent on the government. Therefore, we can control more people. And we don't care how much money we spend. If we have to spend ourselves into oblivion, so what? If we have to print more money, which this administration is doing, so what? We love government. And whatever it takes, we're going to get as many people a government paycheck as we can get. And that's exactly what you're going to hear tonight. More spending. Bigger government. I thought it was ironic. They showed a clip of Bill Clinton at the State of the Union speech here on BSNBC earlier. 1996, where he says, the era of big government is over. I respectfully disagree with that one, Bill. Your next Democratic president, Mr. Chosen Liberal One, has created the largest government in history and will continue to grow the largest government in history until it leads it on a path where the government implodes. Now, I'm all about cutting back government in a major way and cutting spending in a major way. And again, that's why I was so bitter when others like Gingrich were criticizing Paul Ryan's plan, because that type of bold action is what it's going to take to get us back on firm footing. I mean, I have worked for the federal government, and I can tell you that if government grows, not only is it almost impossible to slow it down, it's virtually impossible to scale it back. Now, we would get called the last week of the fiscal year, then of September, and say, we've got these thousands of dollars to spend, and if we don't spend it, it won't be allocated to us next year. And that is how government operates across all spectrums and across all cabinets. If we were to dare cut our budget, then we won't have that money next year. And in fact, they have, most government agencies has a 10% extra surplus for discretionary spending. They can spend on however they want to spend above of what their normal budget is. But it is impossible to slow down, and again, just impossible to scale back government once it moves in that direction. And that's what this speech is going to be about. You know, in the Constitution, it says that the president either can address Congress or can write a letter describing or outlining the State of the Union and what he proposes, he or she would propose to get this union back on track. And I wish that he would just submit a written text instead of having to watch him on television, because really what he's doing is reading that text off a teleprompter. Well, I can tell you, Mr. Chosen One, and I can tell those people, those millions of people who are going to watch this speech tonight, the State of the Union, we are in a depression state. We are in a socialist state. and under him, it's just going to continue. And whatever he's going to try to sell tonight, I hope that what we're seeing in this primary campaign is that people are not buying it anymore. The excuse of, well, I was handed this problem and I've only had 3 years to deal with it, is starting to fall on deaf ears. Remember, folks, the comment about if my policies are put into place, then unemployment will never be above 8%. And we've been above, at some points, quite a bit above 8% unemployment ever since. When we are spending $450 billion a year, which is going to keep increasing, and we really get out of control if interest rates go back up, that much money, it chokes off money going into the private sector. And again, I go back to the point that Romney should be harping on, that we need to have a zero capital gains tax and a zero corporate tax to encourage people and companies to invest in this country. Because when the government does it, it fails. And all this money now going to government programs is choking any possibility of that money being borrowed by the private sector. And if we're paying $1 trillion in interest alone at the end of his second term, if he is reelected, then we're going to be paying, what, 30%, 33% of our federal budget just on interest alone? And it will be choking all private investment. So we are at a major crossroads during this election. And I hope that tonight is the beginning of independents especially. We in the conservative base know and have been known for years what's going on. We knew before he was elected. We knew what was going to happen after he's elected, which we have said and kept repeating till we're blue in the face, that this was the direction we would be heading in. And in the beginning, people were so absorbed by this guy. And when he gets on television and starts talking, people just forget about the problems around him because he can work cameras and he's charismatic. But hopefully, people are starting to see the dangerous road that we are on. And if independents can jump on the Republican bandwagon come the fall, then this neck and neck race we have going on right now could turn around. I go back to Reagan Carter, and it's unbelievable as it is, folks. Carter was ahead of Reagan till September of that race, as I've said before on this show. We had interest rates at 10% or 20%, inflation up around 10%. We had this Iran hostage crisis continuing day after day. But in one debate, the one debate at the very end, Reagan looked right in the camera and said, "Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?" And folks, that whole campaign turned around. It was game change. And Reagan went on to win by a landslide. If Newt can land a punch like he did, the problem with this punch, it was in January. But it has awakened people. And I believe it has awakened independents. And I believe that's only going to continue to grow. But he desperately needs to have a punch like that during one of these three presidential debates, which I'm beginning to think that he has the capability to do so. But it is so critical that we get this one right, that, well, the future of our children and grandchildren really depend on it. And that is not blowing smoke. It is not pure hatred of the chosen one. It is hatred of his policies and where he is leading us and you're going to hear more of the same that we've heard the last 3 years from this guy tonight. This is not, let's not kid ourselves, folks. This is not going to be a State of the Union speech, because he can't say, this is what I've done to improve this economy, because it has not improved. This is a campaign speech. This is going to be why it's me versus them, and they're the ones that are causing the problems, not me. They have got us into this mess, not me. And the sad part about it is that the liberal mainstream media are going to go full throttle with that message and be all behind him until November when the general election happens. It is just amazing how biased the mainstream liberal media is. All right, folks, that's going to wind it up for this week. I want to thank my producer, Dave Olson. We'll be here same time next week, same date. And remember, there are liberals out there, so please be safe.